welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two games by the people for the people and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
And I'm Brayton Cameron.
And this week we're doing Abel Black and FTL Faster Than Light.
Yeah, Faster Than Light.
Advanced Edition.
Oh. Is that what we're, the edition we're on?
Yeah, that's...
I wasn't even paying attention.
Yeah, it was a expansion that they put out a couple years back, yeah.
Nice.
So let's talk about Abel Black. Well, you know what? This kind of makes it rough. Abel Black is a story game, and...
I feel like Abel Black might have some spoilers, so you want to talk about that one second?
Yeah, let's talk about FTL first.
Okay.
So I should bring up who... Z Paranoia from our Slack. They donated graciously during the last Duck stream and said that we should play some FTL. So that's why we're playing FTL.
Yeah, and thank you for that, because I love this game.
I do. I also love this game. I played a lot of FTL back when it first came out and hadn't touched it in a while. I hadn't played any of the advanced content. I still haven't really gotten to any of the advanced content.
Yeah.
But FTL. It's a roguelike strategy game in space.
Yes.
Mechanically, it's pretty, like, prior to FTL, I can't think of anything quite like it in terms of how it plays minute to minute.
Yeah, it is kind of a real-time strategy game, but it has those roguelike elements, which are really fantastic. It's kind of interesting because it is a little bit like something you'd get off of like the Infinity Engine in the sense that you're using moves, if you will. You're setting up, you know, you're moving your units around, but you could pause it at any time and reevaluate the battle screen, you know, and change your strategy.
And that's your like
tactics, rather.
Such a good game design choice that they put in the pause.
Yes.
Trying to manage this game fully in real time would be an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
The real time with pause is the perfect way to strategize this game. And it basically plays like, so you have a ship. Your ship has multiple rooms on it. Mm-hmm. Most of the rooms are dedicated to some subsystem of your ship.
Right.
So be it engines, weapons, shields. And then you have crew, which staff those rooms. Some of those rooms get bonuses by having people in them. Some of them need people in them in order to work at all, like your weapon system.
Right.
And aside from that, your crew also can board other ships, or your ship can be boarded and they can fight stuff off. And when your ship gets attacked, they have to go repair and put out fires and whatnot in the various rooms of your ship.
Right.
And the game basically plays... kind of map to map. You're jumping around. You have a choice on each map as to which direction you want to go into. You'll get an event in each location you hit, essentially. Right.
Yeah, you're jumping planet to planet, system to system, in order to outrun the rebels who want to destroy you.
Yeah. And so there's kind of a built-in timer in each map. You don't want to stay too far to the left where you start out, because they start progressing from the left to the right, and you need to stay out of their kind of sphere of influence, or you'll start running into their big bads who will take you down pretty quick.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really fantastic because you have the two different layers of strategy. This is surprisingly deep, in my opinion, for just a roguelike. You know, I shouldn't say just a roguelike, but for a roguelike. There's a lot of tactical choices that you get to make, a lot of strategic choices you have to make from the beginning, especially when you start introducing after you beat the game, you can start unlocking new ships.
Mm-hmm.
And each ship functions differently. It has, you know, upsides and downsides. It really adds, like I said, a lot of depth to the game.
Yeah, there's a handful of different races, and each of those races kind of have their flagship ships.
Mm-hmm.
And playing as those races' main ships, they kind of have achievements to meet.
Yeah.
That when you meet those achievements, you unlock alternate designs of their ships that have different emphasis on different systems. Like the NG's first ship is very drone heavy. That's their only method of attack until you find a shop and pick up some other weapons.
Right.
But their secondary ship is not at all focused on that. However, you only start with, I think, one crew member.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it has a lot more weapon systems and stuff, but you have just one guy, and if that guy's gone, then you're dead. So you have to try and find someone to help stock your ship up as quick as possible.
Yeah, and it's like the ship's designs themselves, like on a just an aesthetic level, are all very interesting and different. Like the Angisa ship kind of looks like the Borg cube. It's just a big rectangle. Right. And the Kestrel that you start with is like your most traditional spaceship looking thing.
Yeah, it's the human. So it looks like a human ship, you know? I also really like that each of the ships are like graphically they're kind of modular, mm-hmm. and when a ship is destroyed, it always kind of breaks up into all the separate little pieces.
Yes.
Graphically, it's also super great. Like this game kind of just has everything going for it.
Mm-hmm.
The soundtrack is also banging.
Oh my god, I love the soundtrack so much. I used to just like listen to the chill out mix, like yeah. You know, when I'm just hanging out reading, it's like perfect.
It is really good background music. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like kind of so much to talk about in this game that it's hard to find a thread that isn't just like mumbling on forever.
Yeah, that's true. One of the things that I really like about the game is that it is difficult. You know, it's one of those things where it's easy to pick up. Oh, you just shoot and you know the tactics, but it's like one of those difficult to master sort of things. And when you finally make it through the game, which took me a long time during my first couple playthroughs, like it really does feel like a big achievement. And then you get to unlock more content and everything. And but it's really well balanced. Like I watched a video of someone who was playing only a ship that just was focused entirely on boarding.
Uh-huh.
Like, so they just had a really big crew and they would just board everybody else. and they beat the final boss, which is a very difficult task. And it took 40 minutes for that one battle, but
that's crazy.
But they did it. So very impressive.
That's awesome. There's a lot of ways to go about playing the game. It really did. Like, I feel like this is kind of one of the few of the roguelites, you know, that have taken roguelike stuff and taking it into a different kind of genre that really does have that same feel of every game is different.
Yeah.
It's not only just like you're going to hit different events and stuff, but like every single ship you get and weapon systems and stuff dramatically change the game and how you're going to play it.
You're going to run into different story events and you're going to have a different crew every time. We should talk about one of the things that, again, very adds to the depth is that your crew gains experience.
Yeah, that's true. So I said that they can be stationed kind of in different rooms, but they actually get better at that objective when they're on it, as well as repairing and boarding and all the other things that each individual can do. So if you're trying to take a guy who, you know, has been captaining your ship the whole time and he hasn't had to do many repairs, and now he's your last guy and your whole ship's on fire, things aren't going
to
go well.
Yeah, just hope you have good enough door control to... to put all the fires out by opening the outside doors.
Yeah, just letting all the oxygen sink out.
I really love that. Like, those little elements that you can, you know, if you get boarded, you could starve the oxygen out of the rooms where the people, you know, where the enemies are or things like that. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, that's a really fun tactic. And it's awesome that the game, not only is that, like, kind of a neat thing to figure out, but then you realize the game is actually emphasizing that by allowing you to upgrade your doors and make it so that they can't, your enemies have to struggle to open them. That's really good, because if you just have the regular doors, then they're just gonna run away from the oxygen starved rooms, but if you have level 2 doors, they're fucked.
Yeah. Take that, alien scum.
Yeah, it's really neat. So Advanced Edition, like I said, that was kind of the expansion pack they put out, which added even more systems on top of this crazy game.
Yeah.
Allows you to like send hacking drones over to the other side to shut down a system.
Oh, that's cool.
And replace a medical bay with a cloning bay that instead of if someone dies, they being gone forever. A clone of theirs will pop out who is less will have like experience drained from all the stuff that they are good at, but it'll be the same person. So you didn't lose out an entire crew member. A crew member is really hard to come by.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Especially a good one. I usually end up with like only Mantis crew members and I'm like, I don't want to fight anybody.
Yeah. Mantis are good for boarding. That's what they do.
Yeah. But I have them like repairing everything.
Yeah. it's taken hours to fix up a little fire that's in there. Yeah. I really like the NG.
Yeah.
It's a really cool race. There's a, it's not the NG. Who is it that, someone provides power in every room they're in?
Oh, that's not the, is it the slugs?
Maybe. I forget. It's been a while and I haven't played with them in my recent playthroughs to kind of catch up.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this, each race has their own kind of little abilities to them too.
Yeah.
And one of them, power management is a big component as well. And with these guys, every person you have, when they're in a room, they're providing power to that room, saving you some overall power.
Yeah. And it's rare that you're ever going to have enough power to power everything all of the time. At least not the way that I play. So it's like, you know, the med bay is always the last thing that gets powered.
Right.
I'm just flying through space with zero sensors, just all guns, all shields.
I hope you don't board my ship because I will not know that you are there.
I don't know. I only keep oxygen in four parts of the ship at any given time, just to be sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, FTL is a classic. We've mentioned it. Gary and I have mentioned it as a reference in many other games, just as a baseline to compare. Strategy and other game elements too, because it's just so good and kind of a solid foundation in the indie scene that a lot of games take inspiration from. So thank you for recommending it. I hope that you're happy with the fact that that we love the shit out of it, because it's I think it is really like a indie classic in a way that only a handful of other games are regarded. So
yeah, for sure. And it's, we didn't mention it so far, but and I haven't gotten a chance to play with it, but it's also got a very robust mod scene. And you could, you know, a lot of the mods that you're getting are importing ships from different science fiction. So, you know, can get the Firefly, or, you know, the Serenity, I should say. You can get something from Babylon 5. You can get the Normandy, that sort of a thing. And it comes with a crew that's been named for you. And
that's funny.
Yeah.
I hope that there's people out there putting mods together that actually manage to change kind of the entire play style just by what your starting ship is. Because I think it's pretty limited in what you can do, but starting ships is one of the things that are definitely moddable.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a, there's apparently a total conversion for making it more like Mass Effect. So, so there's that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's deeper modding than I even thought was going on there.
Yeah.
So
do you want to talk about Abel Black?
Yeah. Let's talk about Abel Black.
All right.
Go ahead.
No, please.
Okay. So Abel Black, Sleepwalker. This game is this was released late last year, December 21st, 2016, at least on Steam. It's also available on mobile platforms.
Right, which is how I played it. Did you play it on Steam?
No, I played it on my phone as well.
Okay.
I just noticed you know, Steam's a great resource for finding out who actually made a game. So and when the date was. So this was a game by a gentleman named Scott Leach. And it is a text adventure / puzzle game.
Yeah.
That is definitely super well suited to the mobile platform. So if you have that available to you, I would probably recommend playing it there. It does have positive reviews on Steam, but that's definitely not kind of where it was intended to be played.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, you can certainly play it there. I think I played it mostly on the train.
Mm-hmm, you know, me too.
It just seemed like a lot of what you're doing is reading. So,
right.
You know, there isn't a high action adventure element to the game.
Yeah, it's a great transit game.
Yeah. So what happens in, what can we say about the game, story-wise? Yeah.
So this is definitely going to be one that is mostly in a spoiler section, but the basic idea is you are clearly in an artificial intelligence that isn't hidden from you at any point, but you are kind of stuck in a purgatory of when you start the game. You're told that there's this quiz that is essentially there to assess whether you're ready to enter the world or not.
It's your citizenship exam.
Right? Yeah, your citizenship exam. But prior to being able to take that, you're just stuck with in this housing all alone with nothing but a AI voice to talk to you, who's determining whether or not Mother is ready to give you the quiz or not.
Right.
there's some notes from a previous incarnation or AI that you're mm-hmm. you're familiar with.
Is named Jack, right?
I think so. That sounds right. But aside from that, you just want to get to this damn quiz and can't figure out why the hell Mother won't let you take it.
Yeah.
And don't know what all this is about.
I will. We should spoil it. You do get to take the quiz.
You do get to take the quiz. That is the primary game. Everything I told you is basically the opening salvo, which is it's a long text before you manage to get to the quiz, but it does set up the setting pretty well. So
yeah, and the quiz itself, I described it to Nick when I first discovered the game. It was kind of like this Voight-Kampff, Blade Runner quiz, where there are questions that are very vague and like introspective and ethereal, but then there's also a puzzle element that goes along with all of the questions, and it's really I thought some of the puzzles were quite challenging.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They're very IQ quizzy.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've ever actually like forced yourself to go through an IQ quiz, but they're all kind of this like you're seeing something, but you need to look at it from a different angle or think outside the box of what seems to be the obvious.
yeah.
But yeah, it's just a big series of puzzles and kind of relating stories to how you think of yourself and Mother, all of which is compiled into determining whether you're ready.
Yeah, and I think my favorite part of the game is that at the end of each quiz, it gives you like a readout of how they determine your personality.
Yeah, and those are good.
I'm always like an arsonist that's going to murder people.
yeah subject is slightly psychotic. I got a few times.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
Yeah, so it's a very good charming little puzzle story game that I highly recommend you play. And Brayton, you said that you've got the real Blade Runner quiz, right?
Yeah, I do. I have a 10 questions. I found it on the internet, but 10 questions. It's a Voight-Kampff sort of thing. It's going to determine if you, Nick, are in fact a human or a replicant. So let's start this way. Number one, it's your birthday. Someone gives you a calfskin wallet. How do you react? A, I wouldn't accept it. B, I would accept it. C, thank you for the wallet.
C.
Okay. Two, you've got a little boy. He shows you his butterfly collection plus the killing jar. What do you do? A, I take him to the doctor. B, that's nice, but why don't you keep the killing jar for yourself? And C, oh, lovely.
B.
Okay. Three, you're watching television. Suddenly you realize there's a wasp crawling on your arm.
Oh, shit.
I scream and grab the closest thing near me, which happens to be a can of sunscreen, and beat the hell out of it. B, I swap it away. I think it's supposed to be SWAT.
That sounds like it should be SWAT.
And C, I kill it.
Wasps are a terrible hell spawn, so I kill it.
Okay. Four, you're reading a magazine and you come across a full page nude photo of a girl slash guy.
Okay.
You show it to your husband slash wife. He slash she likes it so much, he slash she hangs it on your bedroom wall. The girl guy is lying on a bearskin rug. Do you, A, I would take it down. B, I would let him. I wouldn't let him, her, or C, who?
What the hell?
So I think it's, you take him down, you wouldn't let him hang it up, or you're not married, I think is the third question.
I guess let's go with the third one, because either of the other two seem really repressive and,
yeah,
like, you showed it to him, let him hang it up.
Yeah. All right. Five. You're in a desert walking along the sand when all of a sudden you look down and you see a tortoise. It's crawling towards you. You reach down and you flip the tortoise over on its back.
Why would I do this?
The tortoise lays on its back. Its belly's baking in the hot sun, beating its legs trying to turn itself over, but it can't. Not without your help, but you're not helping. Why is that? A, I don't know why I would flip a turtle in the first place. B, what's a tortoise? And C, what do you mean I'm not helping?
Well, I mean, A and C sound like very similar answers. I'll go with A. Like, I'm not going to flip a goddamn turtle. That's so mean.
All right, good. Describe in a single word only the good things that come into your mind about your mother.
Okay.
A, my mother. I'll tell you about my mother. B, music, love, summer, sun, books, movies, friends, laughter, or C, warm voice, cookies.
Let's go with C. That sounds like my mom.
All right. 7, you become pregnant by a man who runs off with your best friend, and you decide to get an abortion. A, what do you think I do with my boyfriend? Question mark. B,
this is the worst quiz. Where did you find this?
I would never do an abortion. C, okay, I think there's a first time for everything.
But Jesus Christ. let's go with C. Okay. Yeah.
One more question. You're watching a stage play. A banquet is in progress. The guests are enjoying an appetizer of raw oysters. The entree consists of boiled dog stuffed with rice. The raw oysters are less acceptable to you than a dish of boiled dog. A, I wouldn't eat boiled dog. B, not true. Or C, disgusting.
Jesus. Those aren't answers. I'm going to go with C. That is quite disgusting.
Okay.
A is also true. I think B was also true. but we'll go with C.
Okay. 9, the test is over. How many answers do you think were given by machines? 3, 2, or 1?
Answers given by machines. So like the multiple choice answers were provided by artificial intelligence. Let's go with 3.
Okay. Thank you for participating. How did you like the test? This extra question is not affecting the results. A, boring. B, it was fun. C, meh.
C, meh. Yeah.
All right, test results. Here we go. Boy, not bad. You are mostly human, I guess. You probably chose some of the same answers given by Cleverbot. Try it out if you didn't. It's pretty fun. So you can go check out Cleverbot.
I see now. Now it all makes sense.
Does it?
Yes. Some of these answers were given to Cleverbot, a very goofy chatbot. And they wrote down their answers and provided them as answers for you to select, which is why most of them made no goddamn sense.
There we go.
But also the questions were fucking terrible too. So
yeah, some of them were.
Yeah.
All right.
But I'm glad I'm mostly human though.
Yeah, probably.
It's good to know. Probably. I feel like that's not at all what they were quizzing the replicants on at all. So,
well, some of those came right from the movie.
Did they?
Yeah, like the mother question is when the replicant goes nuts. Like, I'll tell you about my mother. Like, yeah. It's that. And then, you know.
That does make sense.
And the tortoise question, of course, is the famous one.
Yeah, tortoise question is famous. It was all the answers that threw me off.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do some admin stuff, and then we'll get into more about what is actually it with the content of Abel Black, the storyline that's going on there.
All right.
So if you like the show, if you want to support us and the rest of the DuckFeed TV network, you can head to patreon.com/DuckFeedTV. And there you can throw us a buck or two a month and get some great rewards like early access feeds or access to our Slack channel.
Mm-hmm.
And we are utterly and entirely supported by that means and almost that means alone. So yeah, that's the greatest way to help keep everything running here.
Right. You can also rate and review it, tell your friends, do all that stuff that you can do.
And if you have any games you'd like to recommend or just like to otherwise get in contact with either one of us, we're on twitter.com @comradepodcast and on facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade. There's also a contact form on checkitoutcomrade.com.
Nice.
All right. So there'll be a little bit of a ditty here. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the story behind Abel Black.
Nick, I'm not hearing the music.
I'm sorry. I'd have to play it through my headphones and hold my headphones up to the microphone. And it's just a whole thing, Brayton.
Okay, all right. I see how this works.
but yeah, so let's talk about the story here. So we already mentioned you're clearly an AI.
Yeah.
And when you start off, you're not taking the quiz yet because you're in some sort of pre-quiz portion.
Yeah, so the quiz is designed to really test your humanity and to get you to experience certain elements of humanity, what Mother thinks certain elements of humanity are.
Right.
So the first thing that you really are experiencing is, like, hopelessness.
Yeah, despair and loneliness seems to be her first quiz, so... Essentially, you are not given the quiz until you say, I'm ready to be shut down.
Yeah.
There's a whole big deal before then where you've been waiting, you've been trying to prove that you experience emotion and all these things. Nothing will get you the quiz until finally you say, all right, I give up, I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah. And then throughout the rest of the quiz, and I don't want to give too much away because I want you to actually experience it there.
Right. But, yeah, absolutely.
You do get to, there's a lot of analogies to spiders. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of visuals of skulls and spiders and like cats, I think, is one of them, and things like yeah. that. Keys are a big thing as well. There's a hidden Konami code.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice.
Which unlocks a little mini game, the only like real gamey game in here.
Yeah, other than like sort of Asteroid. I don't know exactly how to describe it.
Yeah.
Because there's like Pong too, isn't there?
Is there?
No, maybe I'm thinking of something else. You know what I'm thinking of?
What?
There's this data mining program called Alteryx that I use. It's a data blending program. I use at work, and I found out uh-huh. there's Pong is in it.
And that's like a little Easter egg somewhere.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, no, the game in here is like a weird infinite runner where you're dodging asteroids and trying to collect little gemmy things or something and just last as long as you can.
Yeah, I had a tough time with that.
I had a tough time too. It took me a few tries.
Yeah.
So,
as we go through the story, and again, I don't want to give away too much, but I think what is compelling about the story to me is that you have the only communication that you're having with is your character and the like AI bot that is basically allegedly doesn't have life itself and is just kind of programming you to get you to take the quiz.
Right.
And do a few other things.
It's just kind of like the house AI.
Yeah.
It seems like.
But it's like, it was really like an unreliable narrator.
Yeah.
Because it reveals things to you and it's withholding information on purpose. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's really interesting that I feel like I can't really believe anything that happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you play Talos Principle?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I've been wanting to, but I haven't picked it up yet.
Yeah, it's a shame we did that before you came on. One, it's an amazing game. But two, it also deals, the storyline of it deals a lot with a very similar concept, where you're an AI being tested to see if you're ready. Like the program's been iterating on artificial intelligence for who knows how long, and you are now running through the test suite essentially.
Okay.
But there's a lot of kind of throwbacks to previous iterations. You find notes left by previous iterations.
Okay.
in a very similar way to here, except instead of just one, there's quite a few, and they all kind of have their own personalities to them.
Interesting.
And the game itself is, you know, just a puzzle, first-person puzzle platformer type deal.
Yeah.
Which the puzzles are really great. It's a very enjoyable game, but I felt like these kind of dealt on a similar level of kind of that idea of what would be your baseline for deciding when the AI is ready to be
right
taken out of the test suite.
Yeah. And I you know, if there's one thing I wish the game did is that if it allowed you to make the last story decision. You know, when it's do the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, like sort of right. a thing, if it actually let you take that and then dealt out the consequences accordingly, where either maybe you're restarting the game, maybe you're somewhere else, maybe something else is going on. Like I would have liked to have been able to make that last decision, and I feel like it would have made the story a little bit better, but
Yeah. No, I agree with you. That's an interesting thread. I think there does seem to be some failings in terms of like missed opportunities.
Sure.
That's certainly one of them. And then we were talking about this the other day. There's a lot of kind of hidden, we talked about the game, but there's other kind of hidden content that you find notes from a human that you interact with.
Yeah.
Kind of interact with through these other kind of menu items that are grayed out unless certain things have been met, and most of them have to do with things outside the game.
Yeah,
specific times or dates.
Yeah, and I really hate those.
Yeah,
it's the reason why like I never finished what is that game, hold on, let me look at my Steam library and see if I get the Sword and Sorcery game. I never finished
yeah.
it. because it was like, come back on a full moon. I'm like, fuck you. Right. No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. I don't like it in concept in general anyway, but there's also just the fact that what you get as a reward for actually coming back at specific times, which you can flub by just changing your phone's date and time.
Right.
But you just get more notes, and there's only one that I feel like has any compelling addition to the story, and that's the one that happens for playing through the whole game without taking any hints.
Yeah.
All the rest are real fluff and not worth the effort.
Yeah.
So it's a real big missed opportunity there, but
yeah, I kind of get wanting to like add more playthrough to it or some playability or whatnot. But like for me, if something's like come back at 3 a.m., I'm just going to be like, no.
Yeah, nope.
Because chances are if I'm up at 3 a.m., I'm not going to remember this. And then, you know, I'm not going to stay up just for it.
What's even worse, I set a timer, like an alert, tell me like come back and check at 3 a.m. It was like, I set it like 1 a.m. on Friday, and I was like, okay, I'll stay up till 3 a.m. I'll come check it. I wasn't paying attention, checked my phone at 3:01, and the option wasn't fucking available.
Are you serious?
It was exactly 3 o'clock.
That's
yeah.
So bad.
It's exactly 3 o'clock. So I was like, fuck it. And I went and like looked it up, and I just changed my phone's clock to 3, and then was sorely disappointed by what resulted anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So that's a shame. Yes. But the story is still cool, and the main puzzles and plotline are definitely worth the, I don't know, 30 minutes spread out across 5 days of transit time.
Yeah,
maybe.
I feel like, yeah, it was really great for that, because you could, it saved your states when you were in the puzzles, and when you weren't in the puzzles, all you had to do was read, so.
Yeah, it's just one big scroll.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's definitely great for that. That's it's a really good use of the mobile format, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, I think that's about it, Brayton.
That's it.
All right, thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you.
We will see you next time.